Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew, chapter 28. We'll read verses 1 through 8 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 8. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you for your presence here in this place. And God, thank you that our Savior is not like other false gods, like Buddha or Mohammed, who are still in the grave. Our Savior got up from the grave, conquered death, so that we might have eternal life. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I will preach to you a sermon called The Empty Tomb's Witnesses. We're not here just to be reminded of the resurrection. It is that we are to do something about that resurrection. There are people everywhere that have been reminded of the resurrection. They glance at it, forget about it, and go on and live their life any way they want. That is not the intent of the day. We should not only be reminded that we serve a risen Savior, but that resurrection should motivate us to do something. It should move us to action. Now, we always celebrate the resurrection here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. And it is not necessary today that I speak of the resurrection, because it is not a doctrine that we ignore the rest of the year and pull it out just for Easter Sunday. We talk about it all the time. But, indeed, today I will bring to you what we would call a Resurrection Sunday message or an Easter Sunday message, probably just a little different than what you would be used to. Let me tell you the story again and remind you, let me set the scene for what's taking place here. Jesus Christ had been crucified. I will not go into that crucifixion, but what a bloody mess. What a mess it was. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had been betrayed and beaten and mocked, nailed to a cross, and he ends up dying, and willingly, and they put him in a tomb. It was a buried tomb, so you understand. It would have been almost like a mausoleum, a crypt where you would walk in. Then in maybe the side of a rock or a mountain kind of a thing, where there would be a little room, and that they would take a big stone and roll it over the front of that cave, if you will. That's the kind of burial it would have been. And he had to be buried in a borrowed tomb. He didn't even own a burial place. The soldiers of the day were posted around that tomb, mainly because it had been predicted that this Son of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he was going to get up out of that grave. Well, the powers that be that had him crucified said, the last thing in the world that we need is for this fellow they call the Son of God to get up out of that grave, or what they really thought was going to happen is there were going to be some body snatchers in the night. The followers of Jesus would go steal his body and make it look as if he had been resurrected. And the soldiers were posted around the outside of that tomb to assure us, or to assure the powers that be, that they would not steal his body. And so you all know right now, I'm really glad they did that. Because by posting the soldiers outside that tomb, nobody could fiddle with the body of Jesus. Nobody could make it look as if he had resurrected. So if he's getting up out of that grave, he's going to have to do it all by his little lonesome. And so, it was time. Sunday morning had rolled around, what they would have considered, and we do too, the first day of the week. Soon, the sun, that fireball in the sky, would rise. It was early in the morning, and some of those people that loved Jesus Christ said, we're going to go down to the tomb. We're going to go down and check on the body of Jesus Christ. They went to anoint his body with some spices. These are the ones that would have been the witnesses of that empty tomb. There was a lady by the name of Mary Magdalene. Then the Bible says there's another Mary there. She is the mother of a man by the name of James the Less. Then a gal by the name of Joanna. She was going down to the tomb. And then Salome. There's these ladies, Mary Magdalene, another Mary, Joanna, and Salome. They were going down to anoint his body. It's early in the morning. It's still dark. They got worried. They thought, who in the world will roll the stone back? That's a big stone. We won't be able to get into anointing his body. As they were on their way to the tomb where Jesus had been buried, all of a sudden a great earthquake hit. The ground began to tremble. The Bible says an angel from heaven descended. The angel rolled back that great stone, or the door of the tomb, and then he sets on top of that stone. It about scared the guards to death. The Bible says it scared those soldiers so bad they were as dead men. In other words, they were speechless, like some of you are when you find out how much you owe the IRS for taxes. This angel now is sitting on top of this tombstone, and these ladies are approaching, and when the ladies get there, this angel says, I know who you seek. You seek Jesus. He's not here. He is risen from the dead. The angel says, now you go tell the other disciples. They weren't sure about this angel thing. So they peeked into the tomb. They found the body of Jesus Christ was gone. His grave clothes, or his grave wrapping, was folded and left behind. Then about that time, two men show up. People that love Jesus, a fellow by the name of Peter, you've heard of him, and John, they come to the tomb. They find it empty. When Mary stepped away from the tomb, as she's stepping away, she comes face to face with the resurrected Savior, but she didn't even know it was him. They got to picture it. You have these four or five women, they've all ran to the tomb, he's gone. Two men run to the tomb, he's gone. The soldiers, they're standing there, they've got their finger in their ear, they can't figure it out. What in the world is going on here? Mary steps away from the tomb, and she begins to converse with this man, but she didn't know who it was. It was the resurrected Savior. And when he said her name, he said it with such compassion, she then recognized that it was Jesus. She fell to the ground to worship him. Now let me tell you something, folks. That story has gone down in what we might call religious history. It has gone down in secular history. Look, it affects the entire United States of America. Even people who call themselves atheists are celebrating a day that is attributed to the risen Savior. Wow, what a story. That story has been repeated over and over again. Now, after the resurrection, Jesus meets with the disciples, and he begins to tell them, he says, let me tell you what it's really all about.
Let me tell you what just took place. I died, I was buried, I was resurrected. He said, now there's a reason for this. This whole thing, this resurrection, is to catapult us in to some things. In Matthew 28, this is what he says after the resurrection, before he heads to heaven and gets it all underway up in heaven. He says, let me give you some instructions now that I've resurrected. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, he's given them some instructions that immediately follow the resurrection. In Mark 16, verse 15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke 24, verse 46 and 47, he said, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. In John 20:21 it says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Now what happened? He gets up out of that grave. He resurrects. Now, before he goes on to heaven, he says, now I'm going to give you some instructions. I want to challenge you, says Jesus, about what you need to do as a result of this resurrection. I want to challenge you about what should be accomplished because of this resurrection. And because of the resurrection, he said, now I want you to go reach people. Now, folks, I want you all to stop and realize something. Life is really not all about your 401k plan. Life is not really all about boats and houses and cars and riches. Life, truly, when you get down to it, is all about people. It's all about people. And Jesus Christ, he was born of a virgin. He lived 33 and a half sinless years. He died for people. He was buried for people. He was resurrected for people. And right before he goes back to heaven, he said, now let me remind you all, we've gone through all of this. I've suffered everything I've suffered. I've had victory over the grave. And it's all about reaching and helping people. He said, now you get out there and you take this resurrection and the victory of it and the power of it, and you use that to help people and to reach people. Go get them saved because of the resurrection. Help them to become spiritual conquerors because of the resurrection. Help them to change their lives because of the resurrection. Help people to have spiritual victory because of the resurrection. Help people to have good families because of the resurrection. Who in the world was he trying to reach as a result of this resurrection? He was trying to reach mankind. He's trying to reach you. He was trying to reach me. But let me tell you something. As I looked at this story, I seen something unique in it. I decided I wanted to see who God placed at the empty tomb. You see, if Jesus said, now, go reach people, I thought, hey, maybe it would be good if I could research who God drew to that empty tomb, and if I could figure out who those people were that were present at the moment that tomb was found empty, I might be able to figure out who in the world God was trying to reach with the power of that resurrection. So I studied the 5, 6, 7 names of the people that were at that empty tomb, the witnesses of the empty tomb. Hey, maybe, though you were not there in person, maybe you could associate with one of the people that had the honor and the awesome responsibility of being there the day and the place that Jesus Christ was resurrected. Can you imagine? Hey, you may get to go and see a president someday, and that would be big stuff. You may get to go maybe to a Super Bowl, or maybe you'd go to some big golf competition or a golf classic and see something great happen. But I'll tell you, the people that were allowed to be present at the time of the revealing of the resurrection, that would be big stuff. Can you imagine being able, days later, to say, hey, let me tell you where I was a couple days ago. I was at the empty tomb. I was there when the earthquake hit. The stone was rolled away. There was an angel there that said, I know whom you seek. Can you imagine being a part of or being able to say I was there? Now, maybe you couldn't be there in person. Indeed, you were not. But maybe there was someone there that represents what you faced in life. And maybe what God was saying to us is that resurrection is it came so people could know they could have victory. And maybe you need some victory in your life today. Maybe God brought you to church today because we're celebrating the resurrection of the Savior, and God wants somebody here to be reminded Jesus doesn't want us to just say, yep, He resurrected. No, we're to draw energy from that. We're to draw victory from that. It's called the power of His resurrection. Maybe God has something special in mind. Let's find out. Let's find out who God sent to that empty tomb, maybe as your representative or as my representative or representations of what you and I go through. For instance, Mary Magdalene. The Bible says in Matthew 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Now, here's somebody that's at that day, the day of the resurrection. Now, who is this Mary Magdalene? Mark 16:9 says, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. Who is this? This is a gal that was saved, but she's an ex-prostitute. She had seven devils inside her. But Jesus Christ had moved into her life. He saved her. Oh, she's saved but scarred from her past. Now, why in the world would a God seen fit to bring Mary Magdalene to that tomb that day? Let me ask you a question. Are you here today? You're saved, but you're haunted by a wicked past? Hey, are you scarred by sin's influence? Do you feel as if you have been branded by the devil's deception? Oh, you're saved. But you look back and you say, oh my, have I messed up my life. You listen to me. I do not believe there's one accident in the old King James Bible. I don't believe that at all. I believe every word is in there for a reason. I believe every word is there for our learning. And when I look to see who was at that tomb that day, and the very first one to get to see Jesus or get to see the empty tomb was Mary Magdalene. Who was it? She was a trophy of grace. She had been saved, but the past life had, she was scarred. God wanted this ex-prostitute, ex-demon-possessed lady to be present at the resurrection time to tell her and all like her, if you got a rough past, hey, God brings victory to your life. Saved, but scarred from the past. Hey, you say, Brother Owens, I'm saved. If I died today, I know I'd go to heaven, but I'm scarred, and I've got some scars on my spiritual body. Let me remind you of something, my friend. If you're saved, but you say, I'm scarred, you also have a God that is a great forgiver, and you just go on and serve God. I realize you have some scars from your past life. But let me tell you, God saved you, and the resurrection assures us of a power to serve God from here on out. We sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You say, Brother Owens, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven, but I've got some excess baggage. I look into my past and it scares me. What's back there? I understand that, but let me give you some good advice. Don't just look into your past. Look into your future, because you see, if you're born again, one of these days you've got heaven. You've got victory in the future. Who's there? Mary Magdalene, saved but scarred. I was speaking with a man this week that I counseled. We talked about some of his situations. We sat in my office, and the man put his head down, and he said, Brother Owens, he said, my past is full of bad decisions. He said, it just weighs me down. Let me tell you something, folks. Nobody here has made good decisions all the way through. Not a one of us. And I believe that for some reason Jesus or the God of the universe chose to have Mary Magdalene at that tomb to say to her, lady, you're saved. You've got a scarred past, but a wonderful future. You may look back every once in a while, but you just look forward. There is victory because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But who else is there? There's someone else. Peter is there. The Bible says in Luke 24:12, then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre. Who is he? Well, I can tell you who Peter is. In John chapter 18, verse number 27, you find that Jesus is on his way to the cross. And on his way to the cross, Peter is following afar off. Now, but what that telling us is Peter's starting to get away from God. Peter's saved, but he started to get away from God. And on this journey to the crucifixion, Peter actually denies that he knows Jesus. He cusses, he swears, and he denies that he even knows Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. At this point in the Scripture, you say, who is Peter? Peter's probably still a backslidden fellow right here. If you remember, it was before the crucifixion, Jesus backslid and started to get away from God. Peter later on gets right with God and then preaches the day of Pentecost. But let me tell you, between the denial and Pentecost, basically, Peter is backslidden. Hey, do you understand? Guess who God chose to have at the moment of the resurrection. Guess who God said, I want you to go down there and see the empty tomb. Why? Why in the world would God do that? Hey, and may I add this. Are you here today and you're backslidden? You're backslidden. You're away from the Savior. You've not been in church since Christmas. You're saved, but you're not spiritual. You're a member of this church, but you feel like a visitor. Why in the world did God put backslidden Peter in this lineup of people that got to see the empty tomb? I'll tell you why. God wanted backslidden Peter at the tomb to tell him and everybody like him that victory is available for the backslidden. God wanted backslidden Peter that day to say, Peter, get back on board. You might have been knocked down, but you're not knocked out. You might have fell, but you can get up. You can rise again. If I rose again, I'll give you the power of my resurrection, and you may be away from God, but we can get you back in the saddle. Let the resurrection, Peter, draw you back into God's graces. Hey, you have not lost your salvation. Oh, no, no. But you have lost God's blessing. You have lost your joy. You have lost the life of spiritual victory that you could have. You listen to me. When God saves you, He saves you forever. But many of you, you're backslidden today. I take you to the empty tomb. And for some reason, God said, I want Peter to go down to that tomb. Why? Because Peter was backslidden. And God wanted to say, oh, backslidden one, those of you that are my children, you're saved, but you're away from me. Come on back. Come on back. I spend a lot of time with hurting people. I don't know how many people I counseled this week. I'm sure well over 100 people I counseled. And just, they come to my office, person after person, with heartaches and sins, and backslidden mistakes. Now, I got done at my office counseling yesterday afternoon. I got in my truck and I drove out to my house and I sit down and I do not know what came over me. All of a sudden, I just started to weep. I sat in my chair, and I just wept. My mind raced. I got to thinking about the heartaches and the burdens of people. And our people, and sometimes we do the dumbest things spiritually, but I want you to know something. No matter how bad you trip up and get away from God, He's still your God. He will not take your salvation from you. Now, you may give up your joy because of the things that you do. You may give up His blessing, but let me tell you something. He's still your Heavenly Father. He's still Abba. He's still your Daddy. And all you need to do is come on back. You say, how can I do it, Brother Owens? I'm away from God. I'm backslidden. Let me tell you how you do it. You do it as a result of the power of the resurrection. God brought Peter in a backslidden state to an empty tomb to say, Peter, you're away from me, but come on home. Come on home. Mary Magdalene, a woman with a filthy, rotten, vile past. And God said, Mary, I want you to remember, I brought you to the tomb. You're scarred, but you're saved. saved, you're scarred, and you have a tough past, but you're going to have a wonderful future in Jesus Christ. Who else? Who else was at this tomb? A gal by the name of Joanna. The Bible says in Luke 24:10, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna. List some other names there. Who is this person? I checked. I want to know who's at the tomb. Who got to be a part of this resurrection story? The Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse number 3, it describes who she is. The Bible says in Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. Huh. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, that's C-H-U-Z-A, Chuza, Herod's steward. Now, wait a minute. Let's see if we can figure out who this is. The wife of Herod's steward. Herod hated Christians. Herod had John the Baptist beheaded. This is how bad Herod hated Christians. Actually had a preacher's head cut off. Now, that may not move you, but I am a preacher. My name ain't John, but it starts with J. I'm Jeff. I'm Jeff the Baptist. Might not bother you that John got his head taken off, but I'm in the fraternity of John the Baptist. Took his head off. Wait. It says, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. This is the wife of a man that was on Herod's staff. Now, she's with the Christians. Can you imagine what this woman must have went through to take her stand with the Christians?
Right.
Here's a lamb. This is probably a very lonely woman, per se, in regard to her family and to certain friends and high places. Why? Her husband was on the staff of a higher up in the community. Her husband hated Christians, but she has associated with the Christians. She has associated with those that ran down to see the resurrection. She's associated with the ones who took a stand for Jesus Christ. Hey, are you here today? Are you here with... Are you lonely? Now, let me explain something. There's well over 1,000 people here today. There were, I think, 1,020 people in Sunday school alone today. 1,020 people in Sunday school alone this morning. But wait a minute. You say, but Owens, I'm here. I'm in this building. There are people everywhere. But I'm alone. I feel so all alone. Hey, why is Joanna at this tomb? I'll tell you why. Because she represents you ladies that say, Brother Owens, I'm here today. I'm with a bunch of people, but I'm lonely. My husband has forsaken me. I'm rearing my kids alone. She's here at the tomb. Why? For that husband who loves God, who says, Brother Owens, my wife, she's forsaken me. I'm alone now. I don't care how tough a man you are. When the love of your life forsakes you, it'll melt down that tough heart. Say, Brother Owens, my family has forsaken me. They do not understand me. I'm serving God. I'm changing my life. And I feel rejected by my family because of my commitment to Jesus Christ. I feel so all alone. I tell you, my friend, when I began to research the people that God brought to that tomb to be a part of the resurrection celebration, He did it for a reason. He said, I want that gal right there, Joanna. I want her to go down there. She knows what it's like to be lonely. She knows what it's like to feel forsaken. And I want her to be there. I want her to see the empty tomb. I want her to know her Savior liveth. I want her to know the sun will shine again. I want her to know there is life after the heartache. Are you lonely today? Let me tell you something. God cares. You say, I feel so all alone. I'll tell you something else. This church cares. We will care about you. I'll tell you, this preacher cares. Yesterday, as my heart broke and I sat in my living room, my eyes, I don't even know what happened. I was sitting there and I began to weep and I began to think about this great crowd of people and their heartaches and their burdens. I welcome you to a church. Maybe next Saturday, it'll be your burden over which I might cry. I want to tell you something. Joanna was there for a reason. God wanted Joanna at the tomb to say to her and to all others like her that feel forsaken and all alone, you're not alone. You know what? When she got down to that tomb, she found other Christians there too. You're in a place where somebody else would feel alone, but they're here and they're not alone. When she got down there to that tomb, it's what? Peter was there. Mary Magdalene was there. You say, it looks to me like there are just a bunch of old rotten sinners around that tomb. You got it right, because that's all that there are, a bunch of sinners. You say, well, I'm not a sinner. Well, you're dumb. We're all sinners. Now, there are some saved sinners, and there are lost sinners. But you say, is this church full of sinners? You guessed her, Chester. We're a bunch of people doing the best we can to serve our God. He did all to save them, and now we're doing all we can to serve that Savior. But she was there. You're not alone. You're not alone. Who else was there? Mary. And I won't belabor this point, but Mary, the Bible says in Matthew 28:1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. You say, who is this other Mary? This is Mary, not the mother of Jesus. This is Mary, the mother of James. They call him James the Less, L-E-S-S. Now, they used to call me Jeff the Less, but I put on about 50 pounds. Now I'm Jeff the More. Who was this? Who does this represent? And I want to throw out here that name Mary, who does that remind us of? The Mary, the virgin that gave birth to the Christ child. But I'll tell you why I think God put Mary in here and says, it clarifies, this was a mother that God sent down to the tomb. You say, why? Because I think God was saying to all parents, hang in there. You got a tough job in this day and age rearing your kids. You say, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I do. You get into the church and you let the power of the resurrected Christ help guide you through your child rearing. Are you here today, but you're wore down by the responsibility of rearing children? Now let me tell you, one of the biggest responsibilities of rearing children, because it is you living what they ought to live. It is becoming a spiritual example. I know somebody that left our church, and I'll tell you why. They told someone this. They left because their children were growing in the Lord at such a rapid rate. Mom and dad were getting embarrassed that the kids were more spiritual than mom and dad, and mom and dad didn't want to have to tolerate having their children say, mom and dad, we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be living this way. Boy, is that a heavy responsibility. Our little ones look up to us, and so you know they are more apt to do what we do than do what we say. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Oh, the responsibility. But on Resurrection Sunday, God on purpose said, I'm sending a mama down there. I'm sending somebody down there to represent those that are rearing children, those that are rearing their kids. Hey, it's easy to bear a child. Men, it's easy to make a baby. Easy to bear, tough to rear. Even animals can bear, but it takes the power of God to rear good kids. God wanted Mary, a mother at the tomb, to tell her and all like her, victory is available. You can rear good kids through the power of the resurrection. You can survive the broken heart. Some of you have grown children. They've broken your heart, embarrassed you, humiliated you. You can survive the hurt and the pain. You say, how? Through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hey, there's somebody else at this place. A gal by the name of Salome. Mark chapter 16, verse 1, it says, and when the Sabbath was passed, goes on to say Salome, who had brought sweet spices. Who was she? The name Salome is a Hebrew name. It means to pay restitution or pay back. That name means it was somebody that felt they owed a debt. Now listen, God wanted her there for a reason. Do you run from God because you feel like you owe Him an apology because of the way you've lived? Do you feel the pressure of needed payback to God? Have you wasted your life in fear making restitution to God? She was at the tomb for a reason. Let me explain something to you. To get saved, Jesus paid it all. You don't pay anything for that. That's paid for by the one who had perfect and precious blood, Jesus Christ. But, our lives were given to us to serve the Maker. You say, I'm just so far behind on that. Have you wasted your life and you fear a restitution to God? She was in a tomb for a reason. I think God was saying, you may not be able to do anything about your past life, but you can do something from here on out. And you say, Brother Owens, I'm so far behind on what I should have been doing for God. Well, I'll tell you something. God will set up a payment plan with you. You just come on and start serving God from here on out. He's a forgiving God. Victory is available. But wait, who else is there? I love this. John. John is at that tomb. The Bible says in John 20, verse 3, Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulcher. Who is this John? The Bible says in John 20, verse number 2, he is the other disciple. He's called the disciple who Jesus loved. The disciple who Jesus loved. Why would he be there? I mean, we've seen backslidden Peter. We've seen one that needed to make restitution to God there. We've seen a brokenhearted mama there. We see those that have wasted their lives there. Now, but God also includes John. Now, John is a disciple who Jesus loved. Why is he there? He would have been the one that would have had faith in God. He's the one that when he went down there, I'm sure tucked in his heart, he said, they're going to go down there, but Jesus is going to be gone. All the doubters, John was the one that said, hey, don't forget, guys. He told us he was not going to be there. Don't forget, guys. He is going to be the risen Savior. John was saved. John was right with God. He was faithful to church. And I am so glad that John got to show up at the tomb. I am so glad that John got to go down there and see the resurrected Savior. See, God wanted John there at the resurrection as a reward. I really believe that. I think God said to John that morning in his own little way, hey, John, I told you it was real, and you're here to see it with your own two eyeballs. You have stood for me when others mocked. You have lived for me when others betrayed me, when everybody else messed up their life. John, you hung in there, and I can't reward them without rewarding you. And if I can let an ex-prostitute see me, I'm going to let you see me too. Now, you young people, let me tell you something. Some of you, you've not had the privilege of growing up in church. And you say, Brother Owens, I'm more like Peter. I'm more like Mary Magdalene. I understand that. Hey, but you have a resurrected Savior too. You have victory available for you too. But let me say to every young person, you've grown up in a church. Your mom and dad have watched out for you and kept you safe and raised you in a moral way. Let me tell you something. You keep doing what's right. You have victory available for you too. You have victory available for you. I love it. I think God was saying to John, hey, John, hang in there. You're about to see an empty tomb. You're on the winning side, John. Everything that you have stood for, it is right. It is pure. It is wholesome. And John, you're somebody. Hey, faithful church attender, soul winner, tither, those of you that are loyal and hang in there, victory is yours. You're doing right. And don't stop doing right. You're living on the winning side. Wait, there's one last person. One last person. Actually, a few of them. It's the soldiers. Matthew 28, verse number 4. You remember, they put those soldiers outside that tomb. They work for the government, if you will. They're outside that tomb. They're there to make sure no body snatcher comes. Who are these men? They're lost men. They're the unsaved. Now, why are they there? They're there because the gospel is being presented virtually in person. They've seen him die. They've seen him buried. They've seen as much as you could a resurrection. God put the lost there because somebody here today, you're not saved. If you die today, you're not 100% sure you go to heaven. God put a representative at the tomb for you. You need to come to the Savior. I'm not just talking about religion now. You say, well, I'm a member of the church. Well, I'm glad you are. But you can have your name on every church roll in the United States of America and still die and go to hell. Church membership does not save you. You say, well, I turned over a new leaf. You can turn over every new leaf in this county, and boy, would that take you a while. You can turn over every leaf in the county, but turning over a new leaf doesn't save you. It's trusting Jesus Christ that saves you. His resurrection was the finishing off of a deal that he made with God. God said, you go down there, live 33 and a half perfect years. You're going to die. You're going to be buried and you're going to be resurrected. And that will pay a sin debt for man that man cannot pay for himself. The soldiers were there to represent the lost that needed to be saved on the day of the resurrection. God brought them the opportunity to be saved, and that might be why God brought you to celebrate the resurrection here today. Maybe you're not saved, and He brought you here to say, you need to get born again. You will die someday. You say, is it today? I hope not. But I can't tell you when it is. But everybody will die. You will face God. And you will either face Him having said you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, plus nothing, minus nothing, or you'll say you have not, and if you have not, you'll be cast into outer darkness. There's a place called hell, created for the devil and his angels. You'll go there. I'm an old-fashioned hellfire brimstone preacher. That's what the Bible says. Are you represented at the resurrection? Yes, indeed you are. You are represented there. If you're not saved, we invite you to the Savior. Are you backslidden? Once you come back to the Savior. Are you like John, right with God, serving God with all your heart? Then don't quit. Keep it up. Are you like Mary, a broken-hearted parent? Keep going. Are you like Salome? You say, but the ones I feel so far behind. I feel so far behind, it's almost like it's not worth it to try to catch up and serve God. It's worth every moment of it. You say, but the Owens, I'm like Peter. I'm backslidden. But the Owens, I'm like Joanna. I'm lonely. My family's turned on me because I'm serving God. Hang in there. Victory's yours. Are you like Mary Magdalene? A scarred life? You say, my past haunts me, Brother Owens, but your future is precious. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.